coming up on All Access.
Frankly, we were concerned about Drew at that point as well. You know, offensively, we weren't executing, moving the ball.
Barring any unforeseen circumstances, Tom will be the quarterback.
I'll just put it this way. I look forward to the chance to compete for my job.
And you'd expect the person to say that. I mean, who doesn't want to play? You go ask the backup running back if he wants to play.
Sunday night! Feel this! You pay!
Go, baby. One last snap in regulation. Tom throws it for Crockett. Fade back corner of the end zone left. And the ball lands incomplete. Drops back, pumps right. Looks back left. Spun down. That's the second sack of the night for Trey Flowers.
Well, that's what I pride myself on. Just hard work and, and continue to get better each and every day.
It's like hometown hero, basically.
Tom is a local hero here.
I don't even know football, but I know Tom Brady.
Tom Brady is definitely up there with, like, Joe Montana and all them. Definitely. He has the arm to be up there.
It was a primetime matchup that lived up to all the pregame hype. In the end, it was the Seahawks dealing the Patriots their second loss of the season. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriots All Access presented by GEICO. I'm Steve Burton. New England must quickly put that loss behind them as they head west to take on the San Francisco 49ers. We'll preview the Niners game, but before we do, let's look back at the sights and sounds of the Seattle game, including the final drive of the game.
The sounds of the game are brought to you by Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots.
This could be a prequel to what we may see down in Houston at first weekend in February if we all keep our fingers crossed.
Sunday night! Feel this!
You pay! Fires down the middle. Gronkowski breaks a tackle to the 40. Patriots strike first. Touchdown in front of Butler at the near pylon. And Seattle is taking the lead.
A lot of short horizontal stuff, and then they're taking the verticals. All right, downfield, trying to stack this. Okay.
Okay, he's smart now. Run our plays, we are.
Hey, finish our plays now.
Meanwhile, Gronkowski is shaken up. Tom throws a back shoulder. On target, on time to Bennett. There it is!
He has been your horse.
We got to do a little bit more. That's what it's going to take to win this. All right, got it?
And a touchdown strike to give the Seahawks the lead. And Seattle's lead is 7.
Hey, we talked all the time about 60 minutes. Well, here it is. Let's go. We got to put one together now.
Brady takes the snap, stands it, throws it for Julian down the right side.
What a throw by number 12.
Second and 14 snap. Brady throws a lob down the left side, looking for a Gronk, and he makes the catch over the shoulder. Tight spiral, a perfect throw, and a tremendous catch. First and goal to go from the 2. Brady sneaks it. Quarterback lunging off the right side. Got to the 1. The Patriots, 2nd and goal to go from the 1. The ball's on the left hash mark as New England breaks from the huddle.
This isn't over. You got to get in.
Brady off the snap. Gives it to Blunt. Runs it up the middle. A leap. No, he did not get in. Clock to 27 and to 26 to 25. Brady takes the snap. Brady lost the football. Tom covers up at the two. Patriots have to take a timeout with 13 seconds to go. It is fourth and goal to go, down seven for New England. One last snap in regulation. Tom throws it for Kraka, fade back corner of the end zone left. And the ball lands incomplete. And Seattle will win it in Foxborough.
Well, sights and sounds of a game they came so close to winning, but they come up short. Joining me now is Mike Reese and Paul Perillo. And let's talk about that last sequence, because they get down to the goal line and they can't punch it in. What happened?
I'm not sure I like the mentality, and I was a little surprised, Mike, after the game that they were openly admitting. Tom Brady specifically came flat out and said they were not trying to get in on the first down play, which I thought was an error in judgment. There was about 43 seconds left. Seattle had one timeout. Just get in. Figure out a way to get in the end zone. Stop trying to worry about the clock. I think they got a little too cute.
I like when Paul and I can have a good disagreement, a good football disagreement, because I didn't have any problem with the first down play. The way the defense was playing, you want to protect that unit. Hey, the kicker had kicked it out of bounds on a kickoff, on his first kickoff. You don't want to give him a chance to get the ball at the 40 if you score on first down. So I didn't mind the first down play. The third down one, the quarterback sneak, that was the one to me that I didn't like.
Was that too predictable? The third down quarterback sneak.
Yeah, I would have given Blunt two cracks there. But, again, and I'm not necessarily questioning the play call on Brady having a sneak, although I agree. I would have given it to Blunt. You know, he had three touchdowns, and he's your short yardage guy, and he had been getting the job done. I question the mentality of intentionally trying not to score on first down. And I'm sorry, if you get the ball, if you get the clock down under 40 seconds and you give the other team a timeout on the road, and you lose that game anyway, 34-31, hats off. I'd rather lose 34-31 that way than 31-24 because I didn't try to score on all four plays.
And while we disagree, I'll say something to support Paul's point. If you watch that game when Seattle played Arizona, national TV, remember they were down in the goal line and Arizona couldn't get in.
Right.
And so this is a team that, to concede a down, to support Paul's case, man, that's a little bit gutsy to do that. Maybe they underestimated the opponent they were up against.
And I was stunned that they admitted they did it.
I still think the fourth down play was pass interference.
I don't.
I do.
I think Gronk grabbed both of his arms. I think Gronk ran right over him, and I'd have no call on that play at all. It's good,
like
good hard football.
Play.
Absolutely.
Well, let me tell you something. If that call is made in the middle of the game,
I don't think it would have been a penalty.
I think it would have been a penalty.
I don't think so, Steve.
We agree to disagree.
As usual.
Which is why you guys are coming back later in the show as well.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back with more Patriots All Access right after this.
Coming up on All Access,
we sit down with Patriots defensive lineman Trey Flowers.
They believe what type of defense we can be, and you know, we're looking forward to continue to get better.
Is the Bay Area getting ready to welcome back a native son?
I'm super excited to see him this weekend. It'll be a fun game for sure.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to All Access, presented by Geico. New England's 7-2 record is now good for a tie atop the conference, along with Kansas City and Oakland. Despite the record, Dan Rhodes tells us about some growing concerns for the Patriots.
Contact, the ball, pass incomplete. Vino call.
Once again, it came down to one play. But this time, things went the way of Seattle, as the Seahawks emerged with a 7-point victory, while the Pats were left with some question marks.
A lob down the middle for Baldwin. Has it. Touchdown, Seattle.
Middle of the field's wide open.
Of concern for the Pats, their defense, which gave up 31 points and 420 yards to Russell Wilson and the Seahawks offense, as panic has set in for many fans around New England.
I mean, it's simple. We just got to play better. You know, it's nothing I can say to comment or anything. We just got to go out there and play better.
Another problem area for the Pats, turnovers.
You know, when you carry the ball, you're carrying the fortune of the whole team, so you gotta do more to get better at it.
Both Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski took some powerful blows from the Seattle D Sunday. Gronk's one of the hardest hits you'll ever see, but both kept on playing.
To see them get up and keep fighting, it just shows how competitive they are, shows what they're made of, and it juices the rest of the team up.
Now it's on to the 1-8 49ers Sunday in San Francisco. The Niners lost at Arizona Sunday on a last-second field goal. Meanwhile, head coach Chip Kelly was with Philly last year, and Kelly's Eagles stunned the Patriots here in Foxborough.
You watch that game, you watch, you know, this year, the 49ers, the things that they do well, and you try and go out there and execute at a high level.
And finally, Sunday marks a return to the Bay Area for hometown products Tom Brady and Julian Edelman. Brady is from San Mateo, while Edelman from Redwood City.
It's going to be pretty exciting. The new place is no Candlestick, but it'll be pretty fun to go back and get to play in front of some friends and family.
When it comes to this matchup on Sunday, it marks two powerful franchises, decade dominance. In the 90s, it was San Francisco. They won 122 games, third best for a decade period. As far as the Pats go, well, how about the 2000s? They won 126. That's the best decade mark for any team in NFL history. From the CBS scene in Foxborough, for Patriots All Access, I'm Dan Roach.
Time now for Coffee with the Coach, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time to talk to the coach. Coach Belichick joins me now. Coach, before we get to San Francisco, good competitive game you talked about against Seattle. When you looked at the tape, what did it show? You had two good teams going at it.
All right, well, the last two times we've played Seattle, the game's come down to the final play and the final yard, basically. So I think that's about the way it's going to be. Unfortunately, we couldn't make the final yard. Similar to Seattle not being able to make it 2 years ago. But I think that's the kind of competitive, indicative of the competitive nature of the entire game. It was that way from start to finish, on offense, defense, special teams. Both sides made plays. Both sides, I'm sure, had some plays they wish they could have had back. There were some close plays, but in the end, it came right down to the final yard and the final play. And, I think that's about what it's going to be against New England, Seattle.
All right, let's put that game behind us now. I want to talk about generating turnovers, creating turnovers. Maybe the numbers aren't where you really want them to be. When you look at the way offenses attack you guys, is it a quarterback thing? Are they playing conservative? Is it just scheme? It's not matching up?
Well, I think it starts with us. We just have to do a better job of creating them. You know, the opportunities that we have, the balls that are out, the balls that we get our hands on to intercept, there's not going to be, you know, an unlimited number of those. There might be one or two a game, and those are the ones that we need to make. And we need to try to find ways that we can get our players with more opportunities to get their hands on the ball. And from a tackling, stripping type standpoint, I mean, we continue to emphasize that. That's never been not a point of emphasis. It's always been a strong point of emphasis, but we just have to do it better.
10 weeks in, roles are usually defined on your football team. It seems like the defensive unit, you have some fluidity to it. Some guys dress 1 week, not the next week. You still trying to figure some things out to where you're maybe more consistent across the board on offense?
Well, I think we have some depth, and I mean that's a good thing. We've also been pretty healthy, so that our inactive players have been healthy players, not injured players. A lot of times at this time of year, that inactive list kind of takes care of itself. You don't have a choice as to who is or isn't going to be active. We've had some choices to make, and so guys that we feel like have earned playing time, you know, we've given it to them. And hasn't always been the same player. It's, sometimes it's been, as you mentioned, multiple players in the same role to try to let the competition play out, and in some cases use one player in a certain matchup and another player with a different type of matchup.
All right, thanks a lot, Coach. Coach will return later in the show, but first, more of All Access right after this.
Congratulations to Coach Andrew Morenci and the Beverly High School football team. Thanks to the Panthers' come-from-behind win last week, Beverly is Division II North sectional champs. This is Morenci's first year as Beverly head coach after a Hall of Fame career as a three-sports star at the school. Speaking of Hall of Famers, presenting the award is former Patriots linebacker Andre Tippett. The Patriots Charitable Foundation will award $1,000 to the Beverly Football Program in the name of Coach Andrew Morenci.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Bill Belichick rejoins me. On to San Francisco. Chip Kelly's the head coach. I know you got a lot of respect for Chip. They've been through a tough stretch, but you watch film as a head coach. You know what Chip does. Does he have them going in the right direction? Do they seem to be trending in the right direction?
You know, I think they've gotten better throughout the course of the season. Certainly last week, defensively, was a big step for him against Arizona. They, you know, shut Johnson down to 55 yards, under 3 yards a carry. Their run defense has been a little bit of an issue for them, but that certainly tightened up last week. And in the last 2 weeks, they've had 10 explosive plays against New Orleans and Arizona. So I know they're looking for those and need those offensively, and it certainly seems like they're getting them the last couple of weeks. You know, Kaepernick looks like he's starting to get into a little bit more of a rhythm with his consistent play time and decision making. So I think they're definitely an improving team that you know, kind of played the same kind of game in Arizona that we played, a game that came right down to the wire, sure. Kind of the last, you know, play, last kick kind of thing. So I would say they played the Cardinals about the way we played them. So I think that gives us a pretty good perspective of where they're at.
All right, you mentioned Kaepernick. 3 straight weeks in a row where you ever face a running quarterback. How much did the previous 2 weeks against, you know, a guy like Russ Wilson preparing for him sort of maybe help you a little bit against a running quarterback like Kaepernick?
Well, I think it definitely helps the defensive players have that familiarity with it. And I think similar to Tyrod Taylor, Kaepernick has that kind of speed where he can really outrun guys. You know, Wilson's a real good athlete and he makes a lot of great decisions, you know, as he did in our game on loose plays and things like that. But Kaepernick and Taylor are really the type of guys that just from a speed standpoint, if you don't have them leveraged, if you don't have the angle on them, they can just outrun you. And so that's a concern with Kaepernick as well.
All right, time now for the A's Ticket Twitter question of the week. And it comes from Gene in Marlboro. Wants to talk about the extra point, the play. We're 1 year into this thing. You're a big supporter, big proponent of it. You see the Denver Saints game and how that game ends. Do you like where that play is now, a real competitive play in this league?
For me, that's what I like to see, right? Is just competitive football. So I'm for competitive extra points. I'm for keeping the kickoff returns in the game so that we have kickoff coverage and kickoff return. I know there's a lot of support for eliminating that play, just basically like there was for the extra point from the 2-yard line. It wasn't a very competitive play. So I'm for competition. I'm for the kicking game in football. That's really where football started, was with a heavy emphasis in the kicking game. Teams cucking on even second and third down, you know, back many decades ago. But I think, you know, there's certainly a movement to try to eliminate the kicking game from football, and I'm certainly not in favor of that.
All right. If you want to ask the coach a question, you got to follow the team on Twitter, @Patriots, #AskBB. Bellastrader later. A little bit of everything?
Special teams.
Yeah, special teams, offense, defense. Yeah, we'll see some players that we're not too familiar with, but they're good players.
Help me out. All right.
Okay.
Stick around right there. More Patriots All Access right after this, then the Bellustrator.
Coming up on All Access.
In celebrating the 2001 season, we review the decision.
Barring any unforeseen circumstances, Tom will be the quarterback.
And later, Coach Belichick previews Sunday's game with a new-look San Francisco 49ers.
Interestingly, the 49ers have recovered every fumble that they've caused this year.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Gillette One Pro Glide Refill, up to 1 month of comfortable shaves. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. This player profile is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access, everyone. Joining me now is defensive end Trey Flowers. The first thing I want to ask you is this. Last year was sort of a redshirt year. I know we're in the pros now, but last year was sort of a redshirt year for you. Tell me the difference between last year and this year now that you're playing.
You know, it's a tremendous difference. You know, I'm actually, for one, being out there, being able to help my teammate, being able to contribute to winning. You know, it was that was actually my first year since starting football for sitting out. So
Was your
kinda
head spinning?
Yeah, it was kind of hard for me. You know, I didn't really know what to do. I didn't really, you know, it was kind of hard for me to watch, but, you know, I'm blessed to, you know, be able to stay healthy and continue to help my teammates win and contribute.
So. Bill Belichick says you are earning your playing time. That's got to be a good feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Head coach, right?
Oh, yeah. That's, you know, that's what I pride myself on, just hard work and, you know, and continue to get better each and every day. So, you know, for him to say that is a good statement. So, yeah.
You go on the road. Take on the San Francisco 49ers. They're a team that's struggling.
Yeah.
But the way you guys are playing, they're a team you cannot afford to overlook, can you?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. you know, you got Kaepernick. He's an athletic quarterback, so, you know, that's a rush lane awareness that, you know, the D-line got to take on. So, you know, it's going to be a tough task.
What do you think the defense needs to do to step it up this next game? And do you guys take a lot of pride knowing that?
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of areas. You know, we can improve on creating turnovers for one. You know, continue to pressure the quarterback, contain the quarterback, and you know, just stopping the run game. So, you know, it's you know, you can go down the list of a lot of areas, but I think those are some key things that, you know, we can focus on and have a better defense going on to the end of the year. So.
Last question: does this defense know that they can step it up?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. You know, all those guys in there, you know, they believe what type of defense we can be. And, you know, we looking forward to the end of the season, towards the end of the season to, you know, continue to get better. So.
All right, Trey.
All right.
Good luck to you this weekend.
Yes, sir. All right.
San Francisco.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
As we celebrate the 15-year anniversary of the 2001 season, we look back at one of the biggest decisions of that year, or any other year. With Tom Brady as their starting quarterback, the Patriots were 5-5 after 10 games, and Drew Bledsoe was ready to return. On November 20th, Coach Bill Belichick announced that barring any unforeseen circumstances, Brady would be the starter going forward. It was a decision that would shape the franchise for years to come, but it was also a decision whose seeds were planted earlier that preseason.
When we got into training camp, really none of the quarterbacks had, I would say, real good preseasons. We were concerned about the position just in general. But frankly, we were concerned about Drew at that point as well, based on preseason, that it just didn't, we weren't moving. You know, offensively, we weren't executing, moving the ball like, you know, we felt like we would want to.
Now rolls to the right. Now he's going to have to run at the 20, 25, 30. Oh! Tom Brady's in the game. Showed some great poise in preseason.
In seven games, Brady helped the Patriots to a 5-2 record, while Bledsoe recuperated.
Over those next few weeks, when he was in there, you saw flashes. You know, was it perfect? No. But you saw the ability he saw the potential for him to lead us to the team. We could win a Super Bowl with somebody that just wasn't going to lose the game.
Clock, it starts to run now, throws it, is tipped, and believe it was intercepted.
After losing to the Rams on November 18th, and with Bledsoe receiving clearance to play, Bill Belichick clarified the quarterback situation in advance of the Saints game.
Barring any unforeseen circumstances, Tom will be the quarterback. I think that I want to make it as clear as I can that this is not about Drew losing a job or being beat out or anything like that, and that's in no way, shape, or form the case. It's a situation. This is strictly about the team.
Are you hurt, frustrated, or how do you feel?
Next question.
In any way, did you see this coming, Drew?
I'll just put it this way. I look forward to the chance to compete for my job.
And you'd expect the person to say that. I mean, who doesn't want to play? You go ask the backup running back if he wants to play, and he's going to say the same thing. And if you don't want that, then you're in the wrong line of work.
You know, I've been here 2 years. My job is to make the decisions for the football team, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make the best decisions I can for the football team. That's what Mr. Kraft's paying me to do, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make the decisions that I think are the best for the football team. T-E-A-M as in team. Again, that decision wasn't universally received well, but I said, okay, look, this is what I'm going to do. Whether everybody agrees with me or not, it doesn't matter. It's my decision. I'm doing what I feel like is best for the team. And what I need you to do is to go out and do your job. I'm trying to do mine. You go out there and do your job. Trust me. I trust you. Let's go forward.
And when, you know, Coach Belichick made that decision, you know, it was quiet in there in the locker room, because you just feel the tension.
When a guy gets paid a $100 million contract, he's the first pick overall, he's the face of your franchise for so long, and you've been to a Super Bowl with him in the past, and I can keep going, and the head coach sees something, or he sees how our team rallies around this young kid.
You know, that was a week for me, now that I look back at it. I mean, I would have probably viewed Coach Belichick differently if he went with Drew. I mean, you tell us, if we're playing well, all right, we'll play. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how many Pro Bowls you've been to. Who's playing the best, we'll play. Tom was doing all right, and you could see him getting better.
And I think what he did for us was eliminate all distractions for a team. He eliminated the quarterback carousel going back and forth, the controversy, dealing with the media. He took pressure off the team.
That was really a moment of credibility of Coach Belichick from me.
Well, I think, you know, I have been the starter. So I think it's pretty much business as usual in that sense. And, you know... How about that? Typical lawyer Malloy right there. Don't get any better than that.
As a captain, it's like, okay, Drew, you're back. Okay, but I gotta still invest in this young kid, because he has the football in his hand every snap. You know, but now you gotta stay ready for us. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking to one of my idols, a guy I respected coming into, you know, into the Patriots organization, Drew Bledsoe. And I'm saying, okay, you make sure you stay ready. it was an awkward situation.
You know, I'm sure there were some second thoughts and not maybe universal acceptance in the room. But again, regardless, no matter what I did, it wouldn't have been universally accepted. There would have been, you know, a little bit of a split opinion. But the thing that I really respected about that team was how they put it aside, regardless of what their personal feelings were, and move forward with their job, their responsibility, and try to do what they could do to help the team. And in the end, that's really what, you know, got us to the, you know, to the finish line.
Yo, what's up? Time for Turf, brought to you by our good friends at Gillette. 49ers. We're not going panning for gold, right?
Going to play a football game. It's time to get back on track.
Hey, 49ers have lost 8 in a row. They're trending in the right direction because they got a pretty good coach in Chip Kelly. A lot of respect between Bill Belichick and Chip Kelly. What does Chip Kelly do? Plays with up-tempo,
play. Hey, big quarterback, too. More importantly, third straight week where a quarterback can run. I'm Colin Kaepernick. He's Carlos Hyde.
Yeah, but read this option. Guy really likes to run. But it's the read zone option. I'm Carlos Hyde. Here it comes right there. Okay, if it's not there, I'm taking it. If the end comes up, you're going to take it. If he doesn't, then I'm going to take
exactly.
it. But another way they're going to do it, they're going to run the exact same play, but they're just going to do it from a different formation with a motion. Let's say Curley. Jeremy Curley's going to go in motion. It's the same read. Here it is. Ride it. He doesn't take it.
I'm going to throw it back to him. And that's what they do. They'll throw it to Curley. Now, on the flip side, what's New England do to counter it? Communication. What happened in Seattle? Not passing in the zones. So I guarantee you they're going to be in zone a lot, the running quarterback, because they don't want to be in man and get caught. So, okay, you're Curley. You're coming this way. I'm talking. I got him. Looking around, making sure you got back help. You don't want to get in a situation where somebody slips free just because all of a sudden you got Chip Kelly, all these different formations.
You know, and the defensive ends have to be strong. They have to be mentally tough because there's going to be a lot of movement. If they stay home, eye discipline, they'll be okay.
Hey, big plane trip heading out west.
Oh, yeah. Let me welcome everybody to the Wild West. A place that's untouchable like Elliot Ness.
Time now for the Opponent Spotlight, brought to you by GEICO.
Well, the Patriots are looking to bounce back into the win column this week, but they're not the only ones. The 49ers coming off a 23-20 loss to the Arizona Cardinals on a last-second field goal on Sunday. I'm Randa Mason, and this is Bob Soucy, and we're here with your Opponent Spotlight. Now, Bob, it's been a tumultuous season for 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick, but San Francisco fans are hoping that he can help to pull them out of this 8-game losing streak.
Well, Kaepernick, you'll recall, had a nice run to begin his career with the 49ers, including a trip to the Super Bowl against the Baltimore Ravens in a game that came down to the very final snaps for San Francisco offensively. Then as the 49ers struggled, so did he. Chip Kelly took over this year, and as you mentioned, it was a tumultuous start to this season for Kaepernick and constant controversy off the field. But he's earned his way back on the field, and he's a quarterback who has had good results against the Patriots in the past. And there's one prior game versus New England, 4 touchdown passes and a 41-34 victory at Gillette Stadium back in 2012, and he brings the running dimension to. He's a dual-threat quarterback, a guy with great speed. He's a strong quarterback, has a strong arm, a bit inaccurate at times. But in that Chip Kelly zone read offense, Colin Kaepernick is a threat to both run it and pass it.
Now, on the defensive side of the ball, Gerald Hodges really shined even despite a loss last Sunday. Can the Patriots keep him from hitting his stride?
Hodges, a guy the 49ers acquired from the Minnesota Vikings, didn't have as much of a role with Minnesota, but he's emerged as a guy averaging about 10 tackles per game over the last few weeks. He's forced 4 turnovers, 2 interceptions, plus a fumble forced and a fumble recovery. And the 49ers have to get takeaways against the Patriots. They've had 15 takeaways overall this year. 12 of them have led to 65 points in all. Bill Belichick really harping on that theme this week leading up to game day. The Patriots have got to take care of the ball better. They were -2 against the Seahawks in their one score loss last Sunday night.
Well, that is just what Bob and I think, but luckily we've got Bill Belichick in studio with Scott Zolak. We're going to head over there because it is time for the Belistrator.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time now for the Belistrator. A lot of names, as you said earlier in the show, Coach, that we don't know. We know this guy, though, Jeremy Curley.
We are. We're familiar with him.
That's right. He's old Jets.
He plays their slot receiver and punt returner, very good punt returner. So he's kind of the Sproles of the Eagles punt return. But very fast, quick, has excellent vision. Here it is against the Cowboys, where he does a good job of taking the ball, seeing some space outside. This guy's got good speed, so he can get to the corner. He sees all that space out there. He's able to get to the corner here and create good field position, and set up a big return for the 49ers. So our punt coverage this week against Curley, everybody's at the point of attack. He'll go everywhere.
Get him to the sidelines, right?
You bet. Defensively, you know, number one, these guys are third in the league in recovered fumbles. This is Bethea, another guy we're familiar with from days back with the Colts. Yep. And there he is, you know, stripping the ball out. Interestingly, the 49ers have recovered every fumble that they've caused this year. So, that's been a thing that we need to work on is our ball security. And, you know, this is a team that we're really going to be challenged by. They do an excellent job of getting the ball out, knocking it off. Quarterbacks, running backs, receivers.
A team like Carolina, they're a hard-nosed running team, too, so they're used to running the ball up in there.
You bet.
All right, one more look here. I guess it's Cam Newton.
Well, yeah, here's another scramble play by Newton, and this will be Hodges that ends up,
you know, making the play. So they, you know, this is kind of a Rex Ryan-based defense. They do a lot of blitzing and have a lot of movement up front. But Hodges is another fast inside linebacker.
Wow.
He's come back a bit from an injury. Missed a couple weeks there, and now he's back. So, again, Newton's not the easiest guy to run down and strip, but they get him. And, again, our ball security is going to be key. That's Eli Harold, rookie from Virginia. Another good, you know, young player that they have on defense scooping up the fumble.
Yeah, pretty good feet right there, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Seattle. Saw that team.
Yep, this is you know, a good example here of Carlos Hyde, running back, very good runner. He has excellent speed, good vision, is strong, very hard to tackle. Here's a good look at him against Earl Thomas, and you know, Hyde really, you know, makes him look bad. You see him run through his you know, tackle here at the end of the play. Look at the same play from the end zone. This kid is a very, very powerful runner. With good quickness and good speed.
Yeah, you see Thomas right there too, and he's a good safety.
There's, you know, there's the one-on-one tackling look right there, and
wow,
just can't get him. And you know, Hyde does a very good job, you know, running through contact. He's got good pad level, good strength. He's a very aggressive runner, so do an excellent job. All their backs run well. This Vance McDonald, the tight end, number 89, is an interesting player. He's been very productive for him. He's averaging over 18 yards a catch. He's got very good speed. You can see he runs a little what we call a return route here, where he runs in like he's going to run across. And the 49ers run a lot of crossing patterns. Then he works back out and just, you know, you don't see a lot of tight ends just run away from guys like McDonald does. But, you know, it's a pretty impressive play.
It seems like they spread you out, too. You
know, absolutely. Yeah, they attack from sideline to sideline. You have to defend both edges of the field, and they'll take it up inside as well. Throw deep, throw short. It hits you all the way on defense.
All right, get your work cut out for you. San Francisco, let's go get them.
All right, thank you.
All right, there you go. There's your Bellis Trader, more of All Access right after this.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. And by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.